Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask the miracle of your word to be opened up into our hearts as our hearts burn within us through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. 22 stanzas, 22 sections. Each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There's 176 verses. Each stanza has the same on every verse. So the first is Aleph, which we would call an A. So verses 1 through 8, everyone starts with an A. They make it that way. The second section, which would be verse 9, starts with Bet, which is we would call a B. Every line starts with a word with that letter. And the third section starts in verse 17, Gimel, which we'd call a C. They call a G. We call a G, the G sound. Every word starts with a G. It's amazing. So repetitive, so designed, so imaginative, so on purpose. The purpose is so we will get God's word. It's a hymn to God's word, Psalm 119. It's a miracle, and we need God's word. And there's at least 8 different terms for God's word used all through this psalm as well. Now, it was a few years ago we started. We had the first little section, the Aleph section. Then another little time later, we had the Bet section. Then we had the Gimel section. I guess today we'll be in the fourth section, the Daleth, the D section. And probably by 20 years, we'll finish the whole Psalm 119. It won't take too long, but we're going to work on it. So today we're in a section, and I want to call it From Dust to Glory. Verses 25 through 32, Psalm 119, verse 25. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I recounted my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me in your word. Strengthen me to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. I have chosen the way of truth. I've set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run the path of your commands, for you have set me free. What a psalm. What a section we have here. I am laid low in the dust. God's word brings life to us. Dust is our spiritual prison as human beings. All of humanity. And when it rains, we're stuck in the mud. I mean, we are stuck in dust. We are fallen and can't get up. And this world offers solutions everywhere. Just stay busy. Just do the things we're doing. That's it. Follow us. Be famous. Be your own boss. Really, that's the biggest one. Be in charge of yourself, essentially. But one thing is true. All of these solutions in the world do not work. The famous verse in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? It's beyond cure. That's God's view of our own heart in us. We don't know the right way. So everyone is liable to get in a little dust up now and again because we're made of dust. Things are going to happen. But we can cry out to God, God, I'm laid low in the dust. Help me. Help me, God. Then a little miracle happens, kind of like Genesis chapter 2. God says, okay, you little dustlings, I'm going to breathe my life into you. And the ruah, the breath of the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And I'm going to give you my word. And you're going to have strength like you never knew before. Verse 25, I'm laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. It's not done in outer space. It's done according to a plan, according to God's word. I remember years ago being a new Christian, and that's always a shock, you know, giving your life to the Lord, and suddenly you can't live in the world anymore like you used to. And I had a lot of struggles, and I discovered that if I wrote down a little scripture verse and put it in front of me, it would help me. It would settle the dust probably in about 5 seconds or even faster. And I would take some scripture verses. I'd tape them to the dashboard of my car, you know, my surf vehicle. I would put it right there so I would obey the laws and have a good attitude. I would keep them in my pocket at work. And when I have trouble at work, I'd live on the scripture verse. And I'd fasten them to the wall of the office in my desk. I remember going to San Diego State College before it was university. That was a while back. And the lines would be so long to, I had to make a change in my schedule. And I had to get in this line that went all the way around the building. And I just suffer and I just take off. Forget it. I'm not going to do it. Then I get a little scripture card out and I just read it while I'm in line. I try it another day, you know, big long line. It's before they had computers and everybody had to get in line. And all of a sudden, an hour later, I'm at the front and I'm the happiest person there. I always enjoy through God's word. God's word will do that. It'll give you life that you never thought you could have before. God's word is God's life preserver. He wants us in his word. So essentially what Psalm 119 is telling us, people, get that Bible off the shelf and get it into your heart. That's what he's trying to tell us. Interesting, God's promise of life. If you read the Deuteronomy chapter 8, the children of Israel have been in the wilderness for 40 years. They've seen miracles every day for 40 years. So in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, listen, you've seen all these miracles, but what the miracles really were to do is to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It was all about following God's word. All those 40 years of miracles, and that the world would rather have the miracles, but God's word, we don't want that. But we know different now, don't we? How the power of God's word. We also have instruction. Verse 26 says this, I recounted my ways and you answered me. In other words, I have confessed my ways before you. God, I've opened my heart to you. I'm revealing what's deep down in my heart. Oh God, I've fessed up. I've confessed. I've emptied my heart. And the world would say, who cares? Just please yourself. Who cares? God cares. That's who cares. Psalm 119, verse 26, I recounted my ways and you answered me. You're involved with me. Then what happens? Teach me your decrees. God himself, our teacher. You can't get any better than that. Going down the street, who's your teacher? Well, God is with me. In our jobs, who's my teacher? Well, God is helping me. In our families, God is helping me. You know, I've gone my own way long enough. Now, praise God, I've got God as my teacher. God, your decrees. Open our hearts, God. Let there be instruction and direction. The interesting little section of scripture, I know we've gone through it before. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It starts in verse 18. 1 Corinthians 1:18. It goes all the way through chapter 1, all the way through chapter 2, almost two full chapters explaining why human beings cannot understand God. It explains it very fully if you read that little section. And here's how that section ends. 1 Corinthians 2:16, who has known the mind of the Lord that that might instruct him? Who's smarter than God? Obviously no one. But then look what the next line says. But we have the mind of Christ. We have some help. There's a connection. There's a divine miracle in our hearts. I know we have PhDs. You can get a PhD. But we need to have HDD, Holy Decree Degree, in our hearts. God will give us that. Now, I know God's instruction is unfathomable to this world. And a fathom is about 6 feet, about the length of a human body. That's where they came up with that term, fathom. And all of humanity is 6 feet under. They're dead without God's decrees. You gotta have it. But once a person, any person, doesn't matter who it is, how rebellious they are, once they give their hearts to the Lord, God will begin to open his decrees, his laws, his words to them. He will give us a personal tutoring through his word, instructor, the Holy Spirit. Psalm 119:26 is so prophetic, and it is a promise, an invitation. I recounted my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decree. God, thank you for all the teaching you have given me. And God will say, well, thank you for opening up to me. It's my joy to do it. And there's a joy explosion in our hearts, and that's what God wants. He'll also then, God's word leads to understanding, verse 27. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, then I will meditate on your wonders. Get this now. Jesus, the second, I'm not making this up. I think this happened. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, came to earth, didn't he? Wait a minute. He took on a body, came to earth. We can read the Bible and understand it. And the religious leaders, they had a lot of understanding. You couldn't get any smarter than those guys. They had special garments to show and everything. They knew a lot. But they did not understand Jesus, did they? They did not understand Jesus. What's up with that? Remember, Paul wrote the letter to the church of Corinth, and he explained why in that those little section I just mentioned, 1 Corinthians 1:18, and it goes on. Here's a little section, speaks about how Paul is saying, I'm not speaking of the wisdom of this world. There's something different. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7, he says this, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom. Not secret, it's everybody know, we should know it, but it's secret to the world. God's secret wisdom that has been hidden and that God is destined for our glory. We get to share in our glory. Destined for our glory, he predicted it before time even began. Then it says this in verse 8, none of the rulers of this age, now we're still in this age, none of the rulers of this age understood it. They're blank, no understanding. Do we ever see it in the news media? Do we ever see it in our culture? No, you very rare. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they did, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's what happened. It's the same today. The rulers of this age, who are they? There's billions of them. Every person is their own ruler. Until each person bows, it's one person at a time. You can be your own ruler. God says, bow to me, bow to me. But once, doesn't matter how big of a rebel they were or what they've done, but once they bow, once they receive Jesus Christ, that very instant, they begin to get the wisdom of God. They get understanding. The door is wide open to understanding. The Holy Spirit God sends. Interesting, if you look at Acts chapter 1, compare Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 2. What a difference. Acts chapter 1, he tells the apostles, now hang out. Jesus said, remember, he stayed for 40 days and taught many things. It says that in Acts 1. The resurrected Lord walking around teaching them for 40 days. He said, listen, hang out in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father. That will come on the 50th day. Very planned by God. The Pentecost, the 50th day. The Feast of Harvest will start. Then you get to Acts chapter 2. What a difference. The Holy Spirit comes as our instructor, as our teacher. Wonder how many believers today would say they knew nothing about God's precepts. Nothing until after they were saved. We know how true that is. Since isn't that true? We knew nothing about God's precepts. But once we're saved, whoa, now I see. Isn't that true? But the unbelievers won't get it without that miracle revelation of God. Now notice in verse 27 in Psalm 119, it's a prayer. He's saying, let me, help me, allow me, enable me, reveal to me. How many believers can now say, yes, that has come true. Many things have been revealed in my heart. Verse 27, let me understand the teaching of your precepts. Then I will meditate on your wonders. And then the wonders just explode. The wonders of God. Not only will we understand, but we'll revel in the wonders of God. Even when we touch a little Bible, we're touching a miracle that God's word is preserved for us. Something that no one can create, this Bible. We meditate day and night full of joy and wonder. So we have life, we have instruction, we have understanding, and we also have encouragement. In other words, when we're weak in ourselves, we have no courage. Even though you may not look from the outside, but on the inside, I'm a little weak. But when we get encouraged, we get strength. So verse 28 says this, my soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Now, all of us have bodies with muscles. Some are more notable than others, I realize that. But there's also muscles that we don't even know about that are just involuntary. They just do things. And I notice when we get older, does anybody happen? Some of the muscles aren't as strong, you know, hidden in us a little bit. But some muscles are very obvious, but our muscles can get weary. I remember going surfing as a 16-year-old when I got my car. I had a car on my 16th birthday. The beach, surf all day long. I'd come home and I'd do something that very rare. I'd just go to sleep for an hour. So weary, so weary. But nothing can tire us out like sorrow. It hits the deepest. We could be the strongest on the outside, but be weak on the inside. We can only carry so much soul weight. And God understands that. He wants to breathe his life. Give us his strength, his encouragement. Encouragement is the breath of fresh air that he wants to put in us. Now we can move forward like never before. My weightlifting program has worked. What is it? It's getting into God's word, and he lifts that weight. I can't count how many times God has strengthened me with the encouragement in his word. So no wonder we have a prayer. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. God will touch the deepest part of us with his word. But like any remedy, there's always side effects. You know, they warn us on the news all the time. Here's the side effect. Others will benefit as well. What a grand side effect. We get blessed. People around us will be blessed as well. The glory, from dust to glory. So God's word is also guidance. He wants to guide us, to help us. Verse 29 then, keep me from deceitful ways. No, there's no deceitful ways out there. We've got it all together, don't we? Wait a minute. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me through your law. Falsehood surrounds us. Come out with your hands up. We've got you surrounded. That's kind of what deceit is in this world. It's everywhere. And even now, we are so technically skilled that we can Photoshop pictures and put stuff in there that's not in there, or videos, and no longer does a picture tell 1,000 true words. It can be a lie. We are surrounded by lies. And many sheep living in this world don't understand the G3 syndrome. You see, I think an intruder, if I'm not mistaken, entered God's paradise in Genesis chapter 3 and told 3 lies of deceit. And those lies were listened to. Adam and Eve left deceived. We all inherit that, every one of us. Now, this whole world is fallen in the G3 syndrome. They just don't get it. We can even deceive ourselves as believers. It can happen. So I love this. Psalm 119 is like the sheep, lowly sheep, looking up to the shepherd. I need you. Guide me through this deceitful world. I mean, isn't that kind of how it is? Help me. I mean, sometimes I've even prayed like that. No, not really, but I feel that way sometimes. And so verse 29, be gracious to me through your word. Excuse me, through your law. One of those law, and that's really the Torah. The word there is Torah. I don't know if anyone's translation says that. But wait a minute, this world is full. How can something graceful come from God's law, the Torah? It cannot possibly be. See, this world hates God's law. God, how dare you put boundaries on my life? Isn't that what the world cries out even today? How dare you put boundaries? Meanwhile, this whole world hurtles down the path of destruction because they keep tearing out the safe boundaries of love and protection that God has put around humanity. That's the very definition of deception, isn't it? Broken boundaries. Well, God's law, his Torah, puts the train back on the tracks, and the train can be free to zoom. And that's exactly what it's talking about here. And that's by God's grace. He puts the safe and loving boundaries back in our lives. Be gracious to me through your law, God. Keep me from deceitful thoughts. Help me, O God. Now, we know that as believers. Here's a what if in this world. What if, it's a huge what if this world just kept one of God's 10 commandments? Hey, there's only 10. I mean, we read the laws. What was that law that they put in front of us about this thick and said we haven't read it yet? I mean, that's just one little law. We got laws 100 feet thick in this country. But what about 10 little tiny laws? What if this country just kept one of them? It would bring a revolution of goodness. The boundaries are back, and it can only happen through God. It's a prayer that God will answer. God's word then is also truth. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. Now praise God that Jesus has prayed for us. How many think God will answer a prayer that Jesus prayed? I mean, if any prayer, he's going to answer that one. Now we have the giant prayer in John 17, the whole prayer that Jesus is praying for us, it's that it will be answered. Here's one verse, John 17:17. And he's praying for us 2,000 years ago, and it's being answered today. Sanctify them by your word. Your word is truth. Sanctify means set them apart. Now, of course, we're not holy or set apart on our own. It's something that we step into. It's a gift We are given that through Jesus Christ, sanctification, holiness. And truth by nature is very separating. Truth separates truth from error. It has to be separating. Truth signals out falsehood. It blows the whistle, and this world says, no, everything is true. Isn't that a lie? But the world says that continually. When we put the boundaries, safe boundaries that God has let in that are truth, this world will say, no, they are lies. This world hates truth. All religions are the same, they say, except ours. Keep religion out of government, except ours. We'll put ours in. You know, gender is not true, except how we determine it. The life in the womb is not anything important, and it's how we determine it. On and on it goes. But an element of truth is faithfulness. Faithfulness, a form of honesty, being honest about truth. So we want to hang on and be faithful to God's truth, which is His Word. And God has not taken away our freedom. We are free to choose. Everyone is free to choose. So verse 30 says this. Look at this choice. I have chosen the way of truth. Now that's going to cause some problems in this world, so we need this prayer. I have set my heart on your laws. What a power we have. I've set my heart. It's a new setting. Not everyone can do this. Few media outlets will announce this. It's all based on money and popularity and what everybody wants. They'll even call it hate. But it's good to remember that God will answer that prayer that Jesus prayed. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. We will be set apart in beautiful ways. How will we be set apart and how will He answer it? Psalm 119, verse 30 tells us, this is what we must do. I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. Amazing, amazing, amazing. As soon as anyone turns to Jesus, that prayer will be answered. Jesus' prayer in John 17:17 will be answered in our lives. There'll be a holy invasion of truth and reality based on God's boundaries. It will be healthy, life-giving separation from the lies. God's word then in verse 31 will also give us honor. Honor. From dust to glory. So verse 31 says this, I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. You see, we have to cling. It has to be by our will. God's not going to use super glue and stick it on us. We have to put our will in it, our choice. It's not automatic. We must decide to hold fast. It's an act of will, which really is worship. Part of worship, but sometimes people don't realize, is our will, what we choose to do, putting God first. Adhering, clinging to God's word brings a challenge. First of all, it's going to go against the way of the world. Second of all, it will go against our own flesh sometimes. There'll be an argument in our hearts trying to. That's why we have these things called knees that we bow and say, God, I don't care how I feel. I'm bowing to you. The world might mock us. Our flesh might trip us up. This lost world and our fallen nature might scream at us, but our will, following God's word, can win. The world will say, shame on you, but God will put His glory on us. He will take away that shame. I hold fast your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. That honor will fall upon us that only God can give. He will honor us and bless us. Now, Adam and Eve they're famous for trying to cover themselves. They tried to cover their own shame, and that would not work. And that's that covering of shame is the default setting on this world. The world is continually trying to cover their own shame. This world really should hang their head in shame, but instead they hang their head on self, 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 self-honor, self-esteem, self-whatever. But once anyone yields to God, God Himself then covers our shame. We no longer have to cover ourselves. In fact, we are so set free that we can admit we failed, which this world cannot do. The world has to hide and cover themselves. We can say, yes, I blew it. God, forgive me for my sins. 1 John 1:9, God is faithful and just. Faithful, He'll always do it. And just, meaning Jesus paid the price. God is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If, it starts with if we confess our sins to Him. So we're free, we're set free. We are set free, and that's really the last verse here in this celebration in verse 32, the last verse of Psalm 119. I run the path of your commands. We are zooming through. We are set free, and you've set my heart free. Just like the train now set on its tracks. The train wreck is over. I am zooming in God's freedom. That is true freedom, running on the tracks that God has laid down. I'm no longer laying my own tracks. I'm no longer letting society do it. I'm calling and letting God do it. And that's going to take a little bit of discipleship, discipline. That's really, once you're saved, now it's discipleship. Sometimes it's not fun, but the blessing is overshadows all the fun. It's the complete opposite of the tracks this world is on. This world would say, yeah, that's hate to put tracks down. Don't they say that? They love that word, hate. I think somebody snuck into paradise and said something very similar. You know, God has got you guys in slavery. Get off the tracks that he's laid down for you. Follow me. That's it. Talk about deception. You know where that deception comes from. The train tracks of God's command were destroyed. Freedom was lost, and this whole world is lost. Don't be like that, God is saying. People will misuse this quote all the time. The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free, but they never say whose truth. This comes from John 8, verse 31. Jesus' words, if, that's a huge if you hold to my teaching, which essentially are God's commands, if you hold to my teachings, then you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, which are God's commands. And the truth, God's commands, will do something to us. Set us free. Talk about freedom. So I think Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, really can be condensed down into two little verses in John 8 right here. The freedom we have in Christ. Psalm 119 essentially can be condensed down into Jesus Christ himself. We own this psalm when he owns us. And this psalm needs to be a part of our lives. Take God's word and meditate on this little section this week and see what it does for us. Worship team is going to come up. We're going to bow our heads in prayer and just pray that God's living word will come into our hearts. Let's pray. Father, help us to meditate, to memorize, to dwell, to linger, to hang out, to live in your word, that your word then will take us from dust, 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 to glory, to glory, to glory. Let us glorify in your word and put your glory in us and your hand upon us, Lord. Let us meditate on your word. Let us be students of your word, and let us never grow weary, Lord, of taking your word out, even if we have to write it down on a piece of paper ourselves and put it before us so that we will know you, Lord. We pray for the miracle of new life would come within us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen.